Broadcasting from the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11P7.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Level 11P7 here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Jason Hunt here, along with Kimmy Settle.
Hi.
Dan Handley.
Hello.
Mariah Aids is here.
They call the wind Mariah.
That was a good song. That was a good song. Yes, Maya Aids. Thank you very much. And Tim Harvey. For some reason, I was about to say Tim Handley. I was like, that's not right either. What is going
on? Somebody needs to screw Dan's name up somewhere, right?
Cammy, you have started this. Yeah.
It's contagious.
It is.
Well, clearly we're broken, so.
I tell you, I don't think we're fully recovered from Planet Comic-Con yet is going to be my excuse.
How long are you going to drag that one out?
As long as I can.
Until next Planet
Comic-Con. When is the next one?
We have another Comic-Con coming up this
fall.
In August. Kansas City Comic-Con will be here August 20-ish.
7th through 9th, I thought.
Is it 7th through 9th?
Yeah, I think that's what it was,
if I remember correctly.
And well, next year... we've got Worldcon here.
Yes.
We're very excited about that because we've already been told that we're going to get media access.
Awesome.
Because
we're awesome like that.
Because we're awesome like that.
Because we are Sci-Fi for Me.
And you know, it would be very nice by that time to have a sponsor for our coverage of the Hugo Awards.
That'd be cool.
Putting that out there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Yeah. So anyway, this particular show is not a discussion of the Hugo Awards. It is a discussion right now, currently, of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which had a new episode tonight, Love in the Age of Hydra.
In the time of Hydra.
Yeah. Age of Hydra sounds much better.
It does. Yeah. It sounds more like Age of Aquarius.
So that's what we're going to call it.
That's an event. That's like the comic event. Age of Hydra.
Yes. Which we should probably suggest that to Joe Quesada and C.B. Cebulski.
Sure, yeah.
See if that could be their next September event.
Let's call them up right now.
We have their Twitter handles. We can certainly suggest it.
We can Twitter buy them.
It could just be a fifth week event.
They could call in and talk to us right now on this show.
Well, of course, DC kicks out a fifth week event. It doesn't stop.
Let's not get started about that right now. For those of you who are interested, though, in discussions about all things DC, we do have a podcast for that. It's called The Rogues Gallery. See how I did that? Because, it's
pretty
all about
smooth cross-promotion
here.
I set you up. You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. And something that I normally do at the end of the show, and for those of you who stick around and listen to the entire show, you hear it. But those of you who bail out early, I'm gonna go ahead and put this out there now. If you have comments or ideas or you have thoughts on any of these episodes, whether they're our episodes or the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes, we do have an email. It's level11d7@scififorme.com. So I'm going to put that out there at the beginning of the show, and then we'll mention it again at the end of the show.
Isn't it also possible they can post a comment right there on the website, right?
Yes, they can.
Right underneath the...
They can.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Or on our many social media outlets.
Yes. Yep. And we do read all of them. Now, some of them may not get past the moderation stage. We had one here a while back. It was just... Not
wasn't
polite.
Meant for public consumption.
No, yeah. It was not.
Oh, but, you didn't even tell us about that.
No.
Well, not for us. Not for us. Okay. It was on another article. But anyway, tonight we have three rather interesting plot lines to follow. Even though Mr. Harvey is rather frustrated with this episode, we'll get into that here in a little bit.
Well, yes. there's some really good things in this episode. There's a lot of really good things in this episode. But there are some very definite places where I just wanted to grab hold of the writers and say, "What are you doing, you?"
And we'll get into that in the analysis portion of the show after the break. Right now, we're going to get into recap, and I tried something new tonight.
Oh, God.
I actually see this is I don't know.
No. Things are going ears, so well.
My ears are still ringing from that.
Now stuff is all folks, whatever it is, we're really sorry.
It's the first time. This is the first time that I actually had my laptop out, and I opened up Excel spreadsheet.
Who's letting him on the internet?
I don't know.
Which one of you?
It's just a spreadsheet,
it's
Tim.
It's just a spreadsheet.
Just a spreadsheet.
Well, so I can keep track of the plots.
You're sitting here with a spreadsheet.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'm the guy.
You're making fun of me and my notes?
No, I didn't. I never made fun
you
of
you. Give me the look
notes.
Every time.
I never
that's
made fun
of
you.
That's just because you have to ask him for paper.
Oh, well, maybe that's why I'm getting the look. I did bring my own paper.
If you would come prepared for class... I wouldn't have to sit you in the corner.
I have to let you know that I downloaded a Marvel app to my computer today.
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice.
Really? Two of them, actually.
Yeah?
Yep.
Which ones?
There's one that allows me to look up all of the characters.
Whoa.
And there's another one that is more of a game, so you can test your knowledge of characters.
Ooh. Oh, dang.
Cool.
I haven't explored them yet.
I don't really like failing it.
She's going to show up next week and, like, school us all.
You guys will be taking notes from me. Bring your paper and pencil.
And I'm fully expect a review to be written.
Oh,
you opened yourself up for
why
that
why did I not keep my mouth shut? Oh.
Well, it's partly that, but it's mainly because I would like to see other people's bylines on the main page besides mine, because the home page we get, you know, we get 15 articles.
Well, it's all about you. Come on.
I don't want it to be about me. That's the whole point. It's like we've got so many people here that are talented contributors, and I'd like to have their work showcased as much. And you know, and I just keep scrolling through. It's like that one's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine. You know,
we love you.
I want to see other names, other articles names by other writers. So spreading the load, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Spreading the love in the time of Hydra.
That's right. See, and that's how we get back on topic.
Yeah.
It's my job.
So we have mainly three different plot threads. Let's talk about 33 and Ward first.
Yes.
Because they are finally back.
Finally. We've been asking for Ward.
And we've still got Agent 33 with Agent May's face.
Mm-hmm. Slightly damaged.
We start off in a diner. We seem to be doing that a lot. The bad guy's in a diner. That's almost...
Well, it's where they meet. They don't have a headquarters yet.
That could be a web series.
Bad guys in a diner.
Villains in a diner. Villains in a diner. And we do just take all of the different villains.
I like bad guys.
Bad guys in a diner.
Actually, we could create our own villains.
And you put an RV out the window, so you can see that they've got an RV. Because, you know, why not? And
bad guys always ride around in RVs.
That's right.
Dang, yeah. I want an RV.
You didn't know that?
I got to be a bad guy?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Our second digression.
I want to see what you would be like as a bad guy. I don't think that would work.
And
by all means, I'm not saying you can't be a bad guy. I'm just saying I have a hard time picturing it. I think he's a genuinely nice person.
Just for the record, I am a bad guy.
Well, we know. But.
So that, yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be a good web series.
Not.
Bad guys in a diner. Let's make that happen. Let's put that on the list. Right.
Write so, it down, Cammy.
I'm writing it down. I'm taking notes.
Okay, so 33 and Ward are in the diner, and they are there apparently to retrieve a scientist. And we don't know exactly who this guy is, but
we're not going to find out.
He was never seen again.
He was a functionary character. Apparently, he's the one who designed or worked on the chameleon mask, which is...
Because, of course, there's only one person who has ever...
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Well, maybe he's the only one that hangs out in diners.
Or he's the only one left after Hydra took over...
Could be.
Everything.
Whitehall.
Or he's the easiest one to find.
Yes.
Or the only one unprotected.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be any number of things. But they find this guy. And they get him to repair the mask so she can now utilize it to become whoever it is that she needs to become for
but she
the,
can't
for
take
the
it off.
So she still can't take it off.
Right.
But she can turn it off. Mm-hmm. She just can't take it off of her face. She doesn't opt for that yet. She goes back to Agent May's face. And the plan is for them to retrieve Mr. Bakshi from his rather not very secure holding cell.
Right.
Where
don't get Tim started
General
yet.
Talbot is in charge.
Right.
Don't get Don't give him anything.
And they infiltrate. They infiltrate the base. First of all, Agent 33 masking herself as Talbot's wife, mm-hmm. and then various different members of the personnel there on staff right. until they get to Baxi. you'll get your
Tim,
turn.
Hold
you'll
on till
turn.
After the
you'll
break.
You'll get your turn.
Starting
and,
to
round. And then.
And then,
they get Bakshi out of there
yeah.
and take him off to torture and
to brainwash
and
him.
Brainwash him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With
so
no incentive.
There's the one threat.
I just don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah, right. And in the midst of all of that, 33 is trying to figure out just what it is that she's got that Ward wants, because Ward's obviously right. out for something because he rescued her. There has to be a reason. Mm-hmm.
And
we
he's
get,
put gone through a lot.
Yeah.
Although... She thinks that him killing people for her is him doing a lot for her, but I don't.
Right. Well, we know that Ward is following his own agenda.
Yeah, but
she doesn't
like
quite
that.
Understand that. So when she shows up, this was I don't know if creepy is the right word for it, but she changes.
Creepy is the right word.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Agent Sky.
Yep.
Agent Sky's face.
With black hair and really
with
black
May's
hair.
Voice
yeah
in a negligee and mm-hmm. trying to seduce Ward it does get a little creepy because
it kind of changes into Sky's voice at one point it sounded more like Sky
yeah
I think less creepy more wrong
yeah
he stops her. He says, This is not what I'm after, this is not what I want.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting because mm-hmm. he's now rejecting this idea that he could ever be with Sky.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that when she shot him three times that really sent a pretty strong message.
He says that, but put the two of them back in a room together and it's gonna be Sky.
I love you, Sky.
Or something along those lines.
And speaking of Sky, Coulson takes her out to the boonies, out to
a cabin in the woods.
Cabin in the woods.
Yes.
And
with a laser fence, no doubt.
Don't a lot of horror films start that way?
Yeah.
Well, actually, as a matter of fact, especially with a laser fence, because they had one of those in the Cabin in the Woods movie. So.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, there's a laser fence around there.
That's funny. That's funny.
Once you go to the Cabin in the Woods, they can't leave.
Well, that's a definite Joss Whedon
it's
wink
definite,
there.
Yeah,
that was funny.
But before they left, he asked Gemma to bring up her research.
Yes. And it turns out that those are... some gloves. Some very special gloves.
Gauntlets, perhaps.
Well, they don't exactly look
gauntlets.
Like gauntlets.
Well, yeah,
yet.
But they're not going to.
They're going to build up to that. Yeah, it's the Marvel Cinematic Universe version.
They're longer than regular gloves, though. They're,
right.
They are.
Mm-hmm. This is the beta test gauntlet.
Yeah, it's the preliminary, and I fully expect that we're going to get the full blown gauntlet costume at some point. Because for those
we'll
of you,
get the,
we'll get the big bracers and everything, which is something that Sky now has, some technology that Simmons put together in order to help her control her powers, and the implication, the suggestion is that at some point she's going to learn how to control her power, like focus them and actually. Use these
gauntlets.
Yeah,
that's what you guys are saying, but I don't think Jenna thinks that's what she. I mean, I don't think that's what she's unintended consequences.
Yeah,
I don't think that's what she's designed them to do.
Right? No, because Gemma wants to cure her.
Right.
Gemma thinks that all of these people, like Bruce Banner and everybody else, they want to be cured.
Right.
Right.
Which might be the case for Banner.
Yes.
But not all of these metahumans want to be changed. Want to be changed back.
Right. Right.
It's similar to what we saw in X-Men.
She sees it as some sort of a plague, a disease.
It's a disease, yeah.
Sort of like a cancer that it can be cut out and cured.
Well, one of the best scenes they had tonight was when Fitz basically called her out on the carpet and said, look, you're afraid of what's
mm-hmm.
changed with other people. You know, and that's, what did he say? It's the scariest change as you.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, finally somebody's actually confronting this.
Well, and way
to call it right, too.
Uh-huh, exactly.
But it really feels like, though, that, because we've been talking since the very beginning, since all of this started happening, mm-hmm. when Gemma started acting so out of character, we've been wanting that scene where Fitz right. finally just lays into her right. and just hammers her. And it still hasn't happened yet. We're getting bits and pieces.
This
it's
was
happening
pretty direct,
incrementally.
Though. This well, was pretty direct.
But it's
though.
Not, yeah, but it's not
well,
the
he
full
hasn't
blown...
lost it. He hasn't exploded at her, but I don't yeah. know that that's necessary.
Well, I don't know that it's necessary, but I think at some point it's going to happen.
I think he this made was, it. I think he
I
made
think
a very
gonna...
strong point with her today.
It could be. It could be. But I still think he's going to blow a gasket.
Did
with
anybody
her.
Else see when, sorry, when Jenna handed the her case thing mm-hmm. with her, the gauntlets?
Yeah.
To Coulson, and she turned around and walked away. There was kind of a smirk on her face.
Oh, I'd missed that.
No, I didn't see that.
I'm pretty sure it looked that. Like as she was walking away, there was like this smirk that on her face, like she'd slid one over on Coulson.
Well, maybe that's the thing that makes the gauntlets actually work for Sky.
Could it, well, it could be. You never know.
Fire on Gemma.
Well, and then we have our main thread of the night. Yeah. Which is the real shield. Bum, bum, yeah. bum.
And this was probably the most confusing thing to me.
How so?
Well, because, okay, so they get Hunter into the secret location and they bring him out into the meeting room and all of that.
Debrief him and they meet Gonzalez.
And they talk about a plan and everything, but as far as I can tell... The plan is that there isn't a plan, and it just really seemed very confusing to me. And their whole logic about Coulson and him needing to be the Coulson solution and all of that.
Right.
Well,
basically,
what
this is,
they were saying.
And,
I mean,
and the basic idea of this is the real shield, as they're calling themselves, has formed in order to have some transparency and accountability.
Right, and that makes sense. How?
Because Fury lied, and now suddenly Hydra infiltrated everybody, and I don't know.
My point is, they're talking about transparency.
Right.
But what have they been doing?
They're working undercover.
Yeah.
Right, but. They're
they
thinking,
they
well,
being
that's
well, and
too.
They've justified it.
Well, their argument for being there is that, you know, Fury kept all the secrets, and nobody beneath him or around him knew what was going on.
Yeah,
or,
everything was
and
too,
so,
com-
and
too
so
compartmentalized.
This is supposed to be much more open to the your agents and the other people in the other departments are going to know what's going on. The problem.
Is if
with,
you take out one person, well, they know too much.
Well, but the thing is that their whole argument, the whole cloak and dagger infiltrating Phil Coulson's version of S.H.I.E.L.D. is so stupid.
Well, it's the opposite of what they're trying to achieve.
Well, and it's also incredibly complicated and counterproductive. Mm-hmm. For talking about, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, we're going to be more open. Have you considered calling him? Like
talking
getting on the
to
phone
him?
And go, hey
yeah.
Phil,
yeah. Which is what Hunter.
Could we,
yeah.
Could we get
yeah.
some coffee? Could we
yeah.
sit down
and
talk
Hunter
to you?
And Hunter does actually say something to that effect.
Yeah,
where
he
basically
goes to
says,
he's the one voice of reason, which is something you wouldn't expect from Hunter.
Right, because mm-hmm. the whole idea here that Gonzalez is trying to explain that they think Coulson and the team are compromised because Coulson got injected with alien DNA and
right.
is starting to make him act erratic. And that's
right.
one of the reasons why Tripp's dead and why all of this stuff has been going on, because, you know, it's why Izzy Hart's dead. It's why, you know,
it's why the transformation happened to Sky.
Yeah, all of this
stuff is
all
Coulson
acting
weird. And that
made sense,
actually. I mean, because he was.
It kind of does.
He was driven mm-hmm. with the making of the map and the everything, right. and he was, you know, I mean, that's why they were going down that road, was because he was being driven by mm-hmm. the alien programming, if
yeah.
you will.
Mm-hmm. And to a point, I guess that would be applicable, but I think Tim's right. This whole thing is really convoluted in hand of the writer, because it could be
yes.
very easily handled with Gonzalez coming in and saying, hey, Phil, we've got to have a sit-down, come-to-Jesus meeting.
Yeah.
Well, not only
exactly.
that, even if you leave aside the fact that is the, you know, rational and sensible thing to do is sit there and go, pardon me. It's the fact that these guys massively outnumber Coulson's versions mm-hmm. of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you want to do it from just the overrun position of strength thing, they're already there.
Well, just cut
Why
his funding
don't you
off.
Just...
And from yeah. the look of the promo, it looks like that's what we're going to get next week.
You're right. So we've had the entire season, basically, of them just, oh, wait, didn't we do this the first half of the first season and it just about killed us? where you're spinning your wheels, waiting for something to happen. Oh wait, what's although, coming out?
Although
oh,
this is season,
there a movie? Is there a movie coming
quite possibly
out?
Possibly so.
Yeah, sometime but I will soon-ish. Say though, it doesn't feel like this season has been spinning its wheels as massively as
no,
last
it,
season.
No, it doesn't. But then you have something like this, and all of a sudden it feels like you've basically.
There's been a lot of setup to this point.
There's a whole, you know, there's a lot of hand of the writer coming in here. All of
this
a sudden.
Episode, this is a hand of the writer episode to get us from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel like everything that's gone on in before has been wasted hours. I mean, there still is all of that because really, I mean, the first half of the season was a Sky arc. Mm-hmm. To get her to
no,
quake.
It's not like that last season where it was just terrible.
Yeah.
But, well, the first half was terrible.
Tim, tell us how you feel here.
Oh, come on. We have this. We recorded these. We have a record of us basically sitting there going, why are we doing this? Who did we offend? Why? We like Marvel. What's going on here?
Yeah.
I love you, Sky. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah. Marvel. Okay. The first couple of episodes, and then after Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
We were like, why? What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I think that, so we don't have that, there's been
it's
much.
Not that dead.
No. But all of a sudden, the big reveal here that there's another S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's just like, okay.
Civil War. Yeah.
It's
a build-up to Civil War.
It's a build-up to Civil War.
All right, so
why don't they just pull the plug on the money? You know, well, if they want to disable Coulson, just take away his toys.
Well, they don't know what toys he's got.
Well, see, here's the other
he's
thing
got
is
Fury's
that,
box.
And you know, getting to Talbot, here's the thing: Talbot's talking to Coulson. Okay, yeah. if the real S.H.I.E.L.D. mm-hmm. is out there, why isn't the American military who would be the ones who would be talking to the real S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
why is Talbot even talking to
Coulson?
Well, it's probably more compartmentalization. And we can get into analysis on that right after our break because, you know, we do
breaks.
Take a break and refill coffee because we need our coffee. And tonight, we're drinking Trader Joe's coffee.
Ooh, are they paying for the plug?
No, I'm giving it to them.
It's a freebie.
It's a freebie.
Toss it right.
So
out
we'll just.
It is good coffee, though.
It is. All right, we're gonna go refill coffee mugs, and when we get back, we are going to analyze tonight's episode, and let Mr. Harvey blow off some steam because he really thinks that there's some stuff here that didn't work. And we'll get
what?
Into that.
I don't know
that.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, right. We'll get into that right after this when level 117 continues. Stand by.
Our transmitters are made from hand-wavium. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV, that's our YouTube channel, where we have interviews, convention panel video, and Week in Review, where we deliver a digest of the news of the week. All part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out, Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
And now, back to Level 117, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra!
And we're back with Level 117 here at SciFiForMe.com, and we're in the analysis portion of the show. Take it away, Tim.
Well, I honestly felt this was an excellent episode. And
no, you didn't. Really,
what are you talking about?
Liar.
Who are you and what have you done with Tim Harvey?
What well, do I smell birding?
I think you've been hanging out with him.
That's kind of the point, actually, is that well, watching this episode, it's like, who are you and what have you done with some people?
Wait, where's Tim and where did the life model decoy come from?
There you go. Well, there's a couple. There's first of all, there's some really great personal moments in this show. The personal interactions between just about everybody, once you get on the personal level, are really good. I mean, the Ward Agent 33 stuff is all very, very interesting, and you're just watching this very curious and kind of warped dynamic between the two of them.
But there's a weird
intimacy to it that they're both playing really, really well.
Yeah. He has a strange story about family.
Oh, well, he did
it's
not,
warped.
He didn't lie.
He's only telling her what she needs to hear.
He gave everything that he said was, in fact, true.
Uh-huh. Yes.
For a given value of true.
From a certain point of view.
Right. Exactly.
And on a certain level.
Well, the thing is, he recognizes that she's confused. She's been brainwashed, and the guy that was controlling her is now dead, and she does not know who she is, who she was,
and in a way,
what to do
being,
now.
He's being very gentle.
He's being very gentle with her.
Now, so we have that. Yeah. You've got the stuff between Coulson and Skye.
He also has an agenda.
Of course
he has a purpose for her.
Oh, sure.
We just don't know what it is yet.
Not yet.
He always has a purpose.
Yeah.
An agenda of his own. But you've got Coulson and Skye and their interactions. Yep. You've got Fitz and Simmons with their interactions.
And Hunter and Bobby.
Hunter and Bobby. You've got all these different layers of people. And that's really strong this episode. Right. Some really, really fine work from these guys.
Yeah. And Hunter and Mac, actually, that was some good stuff.
Yeah, they were a little bit. So well, and the scene with May and Mac asking him what's been going on, and then she goes back to Coulson. He's like, "Do you believe him?
Nope,
neither do I. Let's figure out what's going on."
So it's just, I mean, all that stuff is really, really good.
Right.
However,
mm-hmm.
and there's a big however here, and you know, we already talked about the fact that Real Shield and Coulson Shield, you know, this whole thing is needlessly complicated.
Right.
On the flip side of that, we have needlessly stupid, which apparently is what happened. Glenn Talbot was apparently dropped on his head recently because I don't know who is in this. I don't know who is in this episode, but we've not seen this guy in the show before. This is a brand new version of the character.
His character has changed.
He's a moron.
You know who he reminded me of?
Mm.
He reminded me of both
Colonel Klink.
No. Both the sheriff from the James Bond movies. You remember the Louisiana Sheriff?
Oh, yes. I remember him.
And I can't remember.
Buford
T. And the Dukes of Hazzard.
And then Buford T. Justice from Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. It's just, this is, all of a sudden we have this guy who is a, let me remind you of his rank one more time. He's a general?
I think he's a brigadier general,
and
isn't he?
We have seen General Talbot in other episodes of this show.
Mm-hmm. He's been downright scary before.
Where he
efficient
has been
scary,
extremely efficient,
intelligent,
intimidating, smart,
right.
Basically a competent threat
to
Coulson's shield. Not to mention, this is a guy who, in the broader context of the storylines, has gone against the Hulk. Okay, he loses a lot against the Hulk.
Yeah.
But in the context of who this character is versus the rest of the Marvel Universe, he's somebody who sits there and goes, yeah, I'll take on the Hulk.
I wonder if he's going to be an Age of Ultron in that role.
Not this version of the character, I hope not, because this version, unless he's there to be the comic relief, which is completely...
Yeah, he was a little bit of like a cheap laughs kind of guy.
I mean, and we open...
But it wasn't who he's been at all.
It was completely out of character.
And the first scene we get with him tonight is him... And this is, it's like, what the hell are we watching? Because all of a sudden it's, the riding lawnmowers are the best things ever.
You know? He was pontificating about
the,
a riding lawnmower.
You got the controls, and it's just like, and four wheels.
You know what I thought it was? I thought it was Agent 33 testing out the mask, and I thought she was making fun of Talbot.
You know what? That would have made much more sense.
That's what I thought was going on there.
You realize he's talking. He's talking to an aide, or who is
an officer,
right?
And she
is looking at him as
really
if,
uncomfortable.
Oh yeah, because why are we even
it's a waste
having
of time,
this scene?
Yeah.
And then every other minute he's on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
He's just completely undermining the competency of the character and the organization. And that's another thing.
Well, and remember, this is probably the same base from which they stole the Quinjet. Do you remember the security on that?
Oh, I know.
Warehouse?
Again, the security on this place is crap.
Yep.
And not anywhere near realistic what an actual military base would be.
Right. And apparently there are only 8 women in the entire facility, which I was just like, have you been to a...
It's got to be a tiny office. Because I didn't really see a whole lot of people at all.
Well,
anywhere,
you know what? And that's where you keep your high asset prisoners, in a tiny office.
Maybe it was a weekend. It was a weekend staff.
Well, see, even if it's just, you know, an office complex facility, you've got one guard at the front door.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, no. You're going to have a guard.
And he was gone when the wife got there.
Right, because war shot him. He was dead under the... He was dead under
oh,
the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
He was dead.
And he was gone.
And by the way, as somebody who would have been married to Glenn Talbot for as long as she has...
That would have raised huge alarm
her
bells.
Her alarm bells would be sitting there going, honey, there's nobody at the security desk. You got a breach.
Right.
Right, yeah.
She would understand more of what was going on. Yeah. Well, see, and the other thing,
really
too...
Especially when she has a pass.
You would have guards at the gate, you know, guards at the door, but also guards at the parking lot.
Right.
Of whatever facility
And when they saw a second
guards at the front
wife.
Door of the building,
yes.
Because where they're sitting, they're not at the front door of the building. So he's obviously had to come in through either elevator or stairs or something. So there's another layer to get to this point,
right?
Past how many security checks without a pass, when she's pretending to be Talbot's wife, and then you've got the security guard sitting there saying, "You don't sound like Talbot's wife." Oh.
Cold.
Yeah. No. But I will say this, from a technical standpoint, hearing Agent May's voice in all of these different people, especially the scene with Sky, they really did work the ADR really well. It does sound like she's in the room. Now, there have been times, especially when you get somebody pretending to do somebody else's voice, where you can clearly tell that it's been recorded later.
Right.
I think the most egregious example of this is Star Trek II, where, the scene right after the Kobayashi Maru, Savick's standing there, Kirk's walking behind her, and she says, "I don't think this was a fair test of my command abilities." And why not? The sound on those lines are so completely different. You can tell all of Kirstie Alley's dialogue was recorded later.
Oh,
it's so obvious. This one here was not that obvious that it was replaced in later.
No, but and it's a mistake that big budget films have often made. Yeah. My daughter and I were watching the last Die Hard film, and there's a Justin Long. Is that the kid's name? Yeah, Justin Long.
That's not the last.
Oh, the second to last one, right?
That's the last one.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. The last
one you watched.
The last one I enjoyed. how about that? And we're watching, and they're so obviously have looped the dialogue that you can not only hear the difference in sound, you can see that he's not even moving his lips that way.
Right.
Mm.
It's an obvious thing. And this is a big budget Bruce Willis movie.
Well, and they did it in Galaxy Quest.
Awful.
Galaxy Quest does that a little bit too. So
yeah, it's. You know, that was cool, and it's really unfortunate because I think you could have done. I don't know. There's something about you have these great dynamic moments between people, the individual moments, all that stuff. The character moments are really, really good.
It's the plot moments that
the plot
just...
moments are just disastrous in this. Even the needlessly complicated shield conflict thing, but Talbot is just embarrassing. I mean, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Because he's
so. Can anybody come up with a reason why they would do that?
It's funny.
It's comic relief.
They wrote him for. The comedic military commander figure is.
It's a trope.
It's a trope, and it's
been
around for a long time.
The other thing too. The other thing
too. But they haven't. It's inconsistent with the character.
Yes, that's the problem.
But see, here's the thing. Throughout the entire season last year, the comic relief was Fitz and Simmons. We don't have that now.
They're not
we
funny
don't
now.
Have we don't have a funny on the team, you know. May is not funny in her stoicism as much as she was last year.
Well, it's not a very funny time right now.
Coulson,
I know, but it, just, but the humor right. is the humor as part of the main team. That's all gone, and I think that it's not gone. It's less.
Right. Well, yeah.
These are serious times.
It's a different
too.
Kind of humor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, but I think yeah, and they may have, that may be what they're trying to do, but it's a really unfortunate because I think it is a disservice to the character.
Yeah, and it did not.
It takes away his.
The only thing
credibility.
Now, what about
strength as a character?
Yeah. I wonder if Nathan Pasdar sat there and said, you know, this character is kind of a one-note character, because he does really, up until this point, you know, yes, he's been the competent military general, but he's kind of been a one-note guy in that he's only got one thing to do on the show.
Yeah,
and what did I say?
Nathan.
Oh. Yeah, because that was the character he played in Heroes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah. All right. Yeah, anyway, yes. I've only had a cup and a half of coffee. Thank you. But yeah, I think he's Coulson's foil, and he's only served one purpose in the show, and maybe he sat there and went, you know, I'd like to tell a joke every now and then.
But I don't really see that happening.
He had a few.
His personality would be. The jokes that he would tell, it would be a completely different kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, culminating really with
confronting his wife in the hallway.
Confronting his wife in the hallway, which is just like, really?
With a gun.
How dumb is... Oh, okay, here's the other thing. Why is he...
The one doing that.
Confronting his wife in the hallway?
Where's the military police? Where are the security guys?
It's an understaffed base, clearly. Full of the wrong people, apparently.
Well, and why
guarding
would she...
an important prisoner with nothing.
Yeah,
run by a guy who's playing the whole thing for laughs.
As long as they've been married.
Yeah.
For him to pull a gun on her, why wouldn't she sit there and go, "What are you doing? Pulling a gun on me? What are you thinking?"
She kind of did that. Well, she was afraid, but yeah, she'd actually played her part pretty well in that scene.
She had a thankless role. She did have a thankless role.
Don't we all?
As a military wife, there's things that I, and I'm not, but there's things that I thought she might have done, like she had her hands full, didn't she?
Yeah, she was bringing him lunch.
Yeah, but where's her ID? Because she did have her ID on her.
Well,
yeah.
what kind of base are they running here? Where she doesn't have a private or someone helping her carry her stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I grew up in Wichita, Kansas, where there's an Air Force base, McConnell Air Force base mm-hmm. is there. And if you've ever been on there, I mean, you've been in a military base. You see somebody coming in with a large pile of stuff. Usually, you'll have somebody. Yeah. Of even medium or lower rank will sit there and go, "Private, help that person."
Yes.
Especially if it's a woman carrying a lot of stuff. There's
especially if it's the general's wife.
General's wife.
Well, I think Jason, you made a good point too, which was why didn't she even question the fact that there was no guard at the table and raise the alarm then?
They're very understaffed and they don't have any privates available.
Was this
she passed it? She said there was no guard at the front. I just walked on through.
Yeah,
it just seems very ditzy.
The whole thing was just poorly written.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. We all agree on that. It's
unfortunate because everything else was really, really strong. It's like
all the performances were good.
And he was funny.
He sold it really well.
However,
we just didn't understand why it was there.
I don't suppose we're going to get Ming-Na to retweet this.
I think that we consistently have something that we've seen, and the first half of last season we struggled with what they were trying, because they were treading water, they were waiting, but we still liked the characters with the exception of trying to figure out what Sky was for,
right,
and why Ward was so wooden, and then we got our answers and we're like, oh, cool, got it, nifty. And then we enjoyed the second half of the season. We've enjoyed this season a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why some of this is really kind of annoying, because it's like, well, hang on,
I think we're latching on to the things annoying us are plot moments. More than they are, because you're right. Sure. The character stuff was really, really solid.
And we did the same thing with Jenna. Well, I mean, she changed on a dime, and it wasn't consistent with her character.
Right.
We had the same issues in a different way with her.
Well, and I think we've
mellowed.
I think we're going to get some sort of a turnaround with Bobby.
Yeah.
You know, we're starting to see a few cracks in that.
Okay, yeah. Hang on just a second. I want to let me comment about that whole situation.
Please do.
Where, you know, she sits there and she goes, I'm not going to stop you, but they will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me explain how this works. You have a guy, and you're holding him prisoner, right? And he's your ex, and but you're holding him prisoner because you view him as a security threat to what you're trying to do here, right? Because you don't want him to get out and go find the guy.
Don't go tell on us.
You don't want to know that you're doing the thing, right?
Right.
So instead of stopping him.
And this is her.
Ex-husband.
And it's her project.
It's her project.
It's her thing. Yeah.
So instead of this, she lets him get away, right? And I mean, she lets him, not only lets him, you know, walk out of the thing and have the little fight scene, but she lets him get away. I mean, that's all she did. She basically.
Right.
And then, when it comes time for the discussion of this behavior with her boss and the room full of people who are in charge, like.
And upset that she had this happen.
Her boss, the guy running, you know,
Shield,
the real
the
Shield,
new Shield,
sits there and goes, that's all right.
I believe her. Yeah, she said she's.
She made me a promise.
It's her project.
On board. Yes.
Well, maybe she has an ulterior motive.
Well, of course, she has an ulterior motive.
No. I meant besides obvious. So maybe there's a reason she let him go.
Well, I don't think it's intentional. I think in this case she's probably not like. I mean,
you think the emotions overcame her and she just decided to let him go?
No, well, she was swooning. No, she's actually.
She's obviously conflicted at this point because the original plan was not to involve Hunter at all.
Exactly.
And the only the only reason that he was even brought on board is because Izzy needed some more backup. So his involvement up until this point was completely happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
And she even said, "I never expected you to stay," because
you've never
that's his
with
history.
Anything.
You know, his history has been jump at the first moment that things get complicated, which he didn't do. So I think you're right. I think her emotions got the better of her to a point. But also I think that some of the things that Hunter said in that room when he's sitting there going, this is stupid.
Yep.
Coulson is not compromised. Coulson is fine. I mean, we do have some questions. Sure, he's acting a little bit different because of the whole alien thing. But why don't you just ask him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Hunter is actually saying all that stuff, you can see it on Bobby's face that maybe.
But
we,
how come nobody in this entire real Shield came up with this
logical
simple,
thing,
straightforward
plan? No point. And I love the fact that we have one of my favorite genre actors popping up on all. He's on everything now.
Well, and it was good. It was good for him to show up and actually have stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about him walking with a cane.
Yeah,
because there's obviously a story there, and I'm going to make a prediction that Robert Gonzalez and Phil Coulson, whatever history that they have together. It involves Bahrain, because it's been mentioned two episodes in a row now. Whatever happened in Bahrain actually caused May's marriage to fall apart, and it was probably the op that made her go back into the office out of the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm gonna guess because. Two ops going bad is probably coincidence. I would say that this is all one thing, and whatever, and maybe Gonzalez got injured in that op, which is why he's walking with a cane. But I think that's we're circling around that because it's been mentioned too many times now to just be a throwaway line. It's coming. We're gonna get some sort of a
sort of like Tahiti payout. Being a magical place.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think that's part of what we're going to get. But I think next week we're going to get that, at least the beginning of the confrontation between Coulson and Gonzalez. And I think this is a setup for Civil War.
So we have how many more episodes? Do they have possibility of sorting this out this season? I'm just wondering what kind of timeline are we looking at?
We know next week
is
mutiny, right? So.
Well, this episode is. Hang on.
So, because there's actually, according to the promos for next week, there's actually quite a bit to be going on next week. I'm not sure that they're going to sit down and have a kumbaya moment. next week.
No, I didn't say it was a kumbaya moment. I said it was going to be a come to Jesus meeting.
Okay.
Which is going to be one of those where somebody sits there and thumps the other one on the head and says, this is the way we're going
to
do
it. Well, I think that this kind of goes back to Fitz's argument with Gemma, and it's all about fear. They know Coulson is changed. He's got this alien DNA. He's acting, you know, erratically, and he's gotten people in trouble, you know, people killed.
He's getting people killed.
People changed.
Yeah.
And so they're afraid of him.
Well, I think the biggest thing is the fact that people have died on his watch.
Sure.
And
which has never happened to any S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in the history of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's all been roses and teddy bears and unicorns.
Unicorn farts, I guess.
Unicorns are fun. You know, we can have unicorns.
Sure.
We're in the Marvel universe. And we can have anything we want, right?
And I'm sure they have,
as long as it's not
I'm sure they have one or two
else.
In a vault somewhere.
Probably. Well, you know, it was a very curious list of things that Coulson was, you know, doing wrong. I mean, it was, well, he got so-and-so killed. Okay, you guys just remember the whole Hydra thing, right? Wasn't there a whole lot of people getting killed?
Yeah.
A whole lot of people.
Well, he's been exposed to alien stuff. Okay, you've met the Avengers,
fault?
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's a very
there's this guy named Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
he's not actually a god, you know? He's actually an alien type. You know, so it's just
it's like they're trying to make excuses to not like Coulson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not just not like him, but it really sounds like they're trying to, I mean, they're planning an assassination.
Take him down,
I think,
or something.
Well, I think part of it too is it's an extension when you've got this secret cabal of people that Fury was talking to all this time. The whole Shadow Council thing from the first couple of movies. They don't trust Fury, and Coulson is the heir to Fury. And I think that colors a lot of their perceptions of what Coulson is doing now, because Fury injected him with alien DNA. It's not just the fact that he's got alien DNA in him. It's his connection to Fury.
Sure.
That
he
I
trained
think
under Fury.
Them,
he would take
makes
his...
Makes them suspicious. Yeah.
Now, how likely do you think it is that real S.H.I.E.L.D. has got Hydra remnants in it?
Oh, I think it's very likely.
Yeah. I do too.
I think it's very likely.
In fact, at the top, I think it's very likely.
Wait, Commander Adama can't be.
That's right.
What's wrong with you people?
That's a different show, too.
So
all this has happened and will
happen
again.
So say we all.
Well, and we seem to be getting that, because in season one, we had, up until a certain point, a sense of frustration until there was the payoff episode where we went, oh, okay. And now it feels like we're back there again
Not the same way. This is, we're not anywhere near on the same level. The thing is that when things are really, really good with this show, the bad things stand out even worse. When it's all awful, you're just like, oh God.
Why are we here?
Scott, I love you. You know, I mean, it's like, oh, look. Someone brought a block of wood to the set. Over yonder.
Just park the cutout over there in the corner.
Like, I mean, do you guys remember what that's like with that day when we all sat there and watched that episode and sat there and went,
what did we say?
All right, I like that.
The thing that I see happening with the S.H.I.E.L.D. versus S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, yes, it's going to be a setup for Civil War. What I dread is that we're going to get a mini arc from here to the end of the season that sets up the entire next season up to Civil War. Because really, I mean, there's only so much you could do before you get to that movie.
Yeah, but that movie isn't anytime soon.
It's next year.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. They just started
a year
shooting
of this.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Is this is going to be my worry? Is that they're going to try to stretch this out?
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, in the middle of all of this, you've got Skye finding her powers and that.
I don't think they will, because I think that we might be getting the seeds of Civil War here. But I really think that...
You think that's going to be B story?
I think it's definitely going to be B story. I don't think... The Civil War, from everything that we've seen from the early early discussions of the story of Captain America, and this whole Civil War storyline, is it's going to be very much the governments of the world sitting there and looking at the events of Age of Ultron, mm-hmm. looking at the events of the first Avengers film, and saying, you know, all of a sudden we've got these powers. People with these people are here, and yeah. these things are happening. We've got alien invasions and all this stuff, and giant robots trying to kill the world. They have to do something about it, and that's where you get the conflict between, you know, Tony Stark saying you're right and Captain America saying you're wrong. That seems to be the real conflict they're talking about, and of course, this is all long before any of us have seen a script or gotten a preview or anything like that.
I would
right?
love to see a script. Somebody give me a script.
That'd be fantastic.
I will write you a script.
No, 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 no. I want somebody at Marvel Studios to give me a script.
But so I think we're gonna. I mean, that's gonna be the focus. It's gonna be Ultron. You know, the new Avengers film is gonna lead into that. We might get, because honestly, you really think by the end of the season we're going to have Coulson and Edward James almost Coulson and Gonzalez still fighting? You really don't think this is going to be resolved by the end of the season?
I don't know. I'm worried it won't be.
It will be, because at the end of the season you're going to sit there and get Coulson. It will emerge, and S.H.I.E.L.D. will be, you know, reunited, and all of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be the real S.H.I.E.L.D. and Coulson will be in charge. Or
it'll be like Return of the Jedi, and Coulson and Gonzalez will be spinning off into space.
No, it'll be Empire Strikes Back, and Gonzalez is
Coulson.
No, Phil, I am your father.
Well, he's got a pretty close voice, you know.
Oh wait, we're thinking of Mark Hamill in next week's Flash
episode. I want to see what I would like to happen here. I would like for Ming-Na Wen to sneak in and infiltrate the Marvel offices and get me a script.
Hey, you interviewed her.
I know. We've got a connection there. We've got a bond, right?
You've got the rapport. Go for it.
She's going to be in Dallas, you know.
I saw that.
Yep.
Are you going to be in Dallas?
I don't know. I'm hoping.
I'm hoping that we're going to do Dallas?
That'll be May 20th through the 22nd, Fan Expo Dallas. Cary Elwes is going to be there too.
I saw that.
Oh wow!
He's going to have a reunion.
Yeah, I don't think that word means what you think it means. Oh yeah, good times.
Yeah,
good times.
Comic-Con. It was a fun thing we did. There's something about this show. It's a strange show that we're watching every week, which is, you know, it's basically cancel proof.
To a point.
Well, I mean, you know,
yeah.
For all intents and purposes, as long as the Marvel Universe continues to be a financial success in the movie theaters, TV show has pretty much got a lock on 8 p.m. Central. And we've got all these really neat storylines and developments and things happening all the time.
And they've developed some really nice characters.
And yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it makes it worse for some of this stuff, because I think that when, you know, for example, we're waiting to come down here and record, and immediately following Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the same network is a show called Forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I have never watched this show. And I watched the first 3-4 minutes of it. And I sat there and I went, I'm not going to watch this show. Because the first 3-4 minutes were awful. I mean, they were just terrible. It was overacting and just the dialogue was awful.
Well, and everything in that show has been done before in other shows.
Well, and there was something in there where they're talking about buddy cops. And he makes a reference to the Lethal Weapons film.
Yeah.
And the main character looks at him as if he doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. And I get the premise of the show, right?
Right.
Okay. And yes, someone who
for those of you who don't know, the main character is immortal.
Right. Who apparently has lived
medical examiner.
Has lived for hundreds and hundreds of years.
There can be only one.
And has somehow managed to be completely oblivious
yes.
to culture
yeah.
of any kind aside right. from his own little world.
Well, right. it's
treating him like
see,
he's been
it's possible.
He's set in his ways.
that he has been
locked in a box.
Well, in a basement. And the only thing that he has is a computer. Oh, wait. No, that's me.
Given the time period, I would have said dungeon. But, you know.
It's almost, they treat him like Rip Van Winkle. So they treat him like one,
right,
a character that's been
and that's completely impossible.
Right.
And so, and it's not only is it impossible, but it's unbelievable.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm watching this going, I have no interest in watching this, right? Mm. And so... For all the fact that we struggled so mightily that first half of the first season, mm-hmm. I still wanted to turn in and watch what was going to happen. I still wanted to have, you know, I wanted to see what Phil Coulson was up to.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to see what these guys were doing. Because mm-hmm. I...
Because there's a lot of things about the show that are smart and witty and fun to watch. And a lot of the spy stuff is cool and fun to watch and mm-hmm. things like that. And sometimes the story is lacking.
Not to say that there are not some terrible comic book storylines for some of these folks as well. And this does not compare to the David Hasselhoff S.H.I.E.L.D. movie, Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I still want that cameo.
Well, you know.
I still want that cameo.
He's going to be in Sharknado 3, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he's playing Finn's dad.
So you're saying there's a possibility.
I would love to see that.
Well,
because it would just be so much fun.
So did we get was it Lisa Rinna? Is that who it was?
Yeah,
so get
yeah
her
Lisa Rinna.
Well.
Lisa Rinna.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a thing. Now they were wearing the S.H.I.E.L.D. uniforms. The production design on that was kind of disturbingly good. I watched it. I watched it when it was live in the air.
I saw.
So,
I see, and it would be one of those things where. You could acknowledge that the Marvel universe is bigger than just the cinematic universe that we have now, because you know you've got all of this history of mm-hmm. Marvel shows. You've got the Nick Fury movie. You've got the Incredible Hulk. You've got the Captain America film TV films. You've got mm-hmm. the Matt Salinger Captain America film. You've got. Daredevil and Elektra and all of these movies that what went before,
mm-hmm.
and you can at least finger to the nose and wink at your audience that
you're actually thinking of the other comic book company and what they're doing on television right now.
And that is fun.
That is very fun. Well, you know what? I think.
And by the way, we have a podcast called The Rogues Gallery where we talk about the DC universe.
Conveniently enough. The word rogues played very heavily in the current episode of a current show.
That's right. Which I'm working on the recap. At the moment, but
there's good comic book entertainment on television right now.
And a lot of it's coming from DC's.
It's Marvel and DC are both putting out some good stuff. And if you've seen the motion poster for Daredevil?
I've seen pieces of it. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Where basically it shifts and you can basically see that the shadow that he cast has got the horns.
Yeah.
So it's actually the new costume.
Cool.
So, but yeah, so it's this stuff is coming out. There's this larger television universe or depending on the Netflix stuff, sorry, television. But, and I think what is really cool is that we got it started with the show. And we've all gotten to really like this show. And then when they get things wrong, it makes it even worse.
We've set our expectations much higher than first season.
Well, I think part of that,
they've built it up to that too.
After Winter Soldier, we figured out. That there is more to the show, and they were able to do more with the show after that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they hit the ground running after Winter Soldier, and they haven't stopped. I mean, their momentum they just kept going through the second season.
Right.
And you're right. You do build up expectations with the audience that stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that went away and never came back. Okay, but
first season is always tough.
It is.
You look at some of the most successful programs on TV, and you look at their first season, and you go, oh, my gosh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Well, Star Trek The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible first season.
It's because their uniforms were pajamas.
Or skorts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, and I think part of that too is you have a writing team, and I'm a little bit less forgiving on the Joss Whedon projects now because they tend to use the same guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the writing team may have some new people on it, but the Dollhouse team came in on Agent Carter, and you've got people that have worked with Whedon before,
mm-hmm.
so it's not like we're treading brand new ground here with the writers and the producers. These people mm-hmm. all know each other. They all
mm-hmm.
sing in the key of Whedon, and
that's cute.
Well, that's from Amy Pascal's book, and that's actually how they describe it. Going all the way back to Buffy, is this mm-hmm. idea of finding the Buffy of it. The mm-hmm. Whether it's Firefly or Dollhouse or any of the other Whedon projects, it's finding that moment where you figure out the voice of all of these characters.
Right.
And the writers that have come with him all the way through that time, is one of these things where they've all figured out how these characters are and how the interactions go and what works, because the team works that same way. There's that same dynamic between the writers and the producers because they've worked together before.
Sure.
So I'm a little bit less forgiving when you've got a season that doesn't quite work, or you get an episode that's kind of clunky, because these guys should know better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they've worked together so long. Now, granted, I don't know who wrote this particular episode, whether they're brand new or not. But for the most part, these guys should know better.
Especially this far into this second season.
Yeah.
And with established characters.
Well, right. I think the biggest, the thing that stands out for me is that suddenly we have a character who is behaving in a way that is completely not like the character we have had established on this show.
A second character.
Yeah.
Well,
this is the second time.
It'd almost be like Phil Coulson showing up and being just, generally mean to people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We would sit there and go, well, what's really going on?
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing is that Talbot is going to show up and do this thing, and we're not going to sit there and say, wait a minute, what's up with Talbot? Because he's clearly being played for laughs.
No, he's turned into Don Knotts.
It's not even a. It's not a. Wait a minute, this behavior seems odd.
Right.
There's a. This is. Hi there. I'm the comedy military commander. Ta-da.
Yeah.
Hogan. Which dates me right there.
That's all right.
Dates
everybody.
That's right. Unless somebody just jumps in and says, "I know nothing."
Yeah. So I mean, and that's just it. It's disappointing because we really have come to expect a lot with good reason, because they generally do a good job. It's when this kind of stuff just stands out. You're going, what are you doing? What were they thinking?
Well,
what are you doing? What?
One good thing about it though is it stands out.
Yeah.
Which tells you everything around it seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah. We're all looking at it going, well, it's another episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which is what other people were doing in the first season.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And you know what?
We did a little bit of it in the first half.
We also did a whole lot of
Skyline.
Yep.
Speaking of which, what we haven't talked about in ages, which probably doesn't even matter anymore.
Deathpool,
yeah.
I don't know. The thing is,
who do you put on the Deathpool now?
Everybody except Coulson.
No. Coulson is, I think, he's
no, because he's died already. He's not going to... I mean, the whole reason for the show is because of Coulson. So they're not going
to
kill him.
And he's too central to the entire story.
Yeah.
Except that I think that this whole Coulson problem is a plot to assassinate him.
No, they won't be successful. They don't want to assassinate him, but they want to just get him out of the field so he's not running amok.
But again, overly complicated plan.
Yeah.
Overly complicated.
They could sit down over a cup of coffee in a diner,
or get a high-powered rifle and shoot him from a distance. I don't know what's going on.
But he'll come back.
Well, they don't know that. All what you do is you shoot him, and then you keep shooting him every time he tries to get back up again. So that's how you solve.
He's not Wolverine.
Well, but I'm just saying, if they're concerned about him coming back, you have a guy's job is to stand there and go, "Oh, hang on, bang! Oh, hang on." Sir, can I take a break? No. Oh,
so, predictions for next week.
I think there will be an episode next week.
I think things, there will be.
Well spotted.
Things will happen fighting. Of some kind.
Well, the mutiny. The mutiny.
We've seen.
It's not a mutiny.
We've seen.
I think they called it that, though.
Yeah, they
but
did.
It's not a mutiny.
It's not a mutiny.
Yeah,
well, other than Bobby and Mac.
Bobby and Mac
are going to be fighting against Real Shield?
No, I think
because that would be mutiny.
That would be mutiny. I think we're going to get.
Yeah. Now you're just confusing us all.
We'll get the confrontation. We'll get at least one confrontation between Gonzalez and Coulson.
Yeah, we get a confrontation between Bobby and
Bobby
and
Mac. I don't know about next week.
Yeah, we will. It'll be at the very end of the episode, probably. Yeah.
Hello.
And it'll
lead into
the next episode.
Yeah. Hello.
And then Sky is going to use her gauntlets because we've seen that there's going to be a raid on the cabin.
Yep. And she's running.
She's going to learn fairly quickly how to use
laser
those gauntlets.
Fence.
Yeah.
She'll jump the fence.
Somebody
or she'll
break
use
it.
Her. She'll
you
use
don't
her.
Don't jump a laser fence. Have you never tried to escape from a laser fence before,
no,
sir?
Haven't yet.
Good Lord.
She'll break
she'll
it.
She'll have to destroy
here,
the generators.
Yeah.
I think she'll use her.
She'll bring
quake
down
powers.
The helicopter.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
She'll bring down the helicopter
and on top of the laser fence.
There you go.
Breaks the laser fence. Goes over the helicopter.
What's going to happen with Ward and 33?
You know,
they
that's
will,
the, that's
they
the
will
thing.
Not
they're,
appear next episode.
Do you get a Bonnie and Clyde vibe from them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do from Ward.
They will have a long walk into the moonlight.
I think he's going to take 33 wherever he wants to take her and make her do things that he needs her to do.
She's becoming...
She'll be his expendable
They're dealing
person.
With Bakshi right now, so who knows how what's going to come out of
right.
that.
He will be the first one to die, by the way.
Bakshi,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Easily. He's an expendable.
Yep.
Because honestly, once they've got him brainwashed to do whatever they want him to do, the whole thing, what use is he?
Mm-hmm.
He's a completely compromised Hydra agent.
Yeah.
Hydra has zero reason
and
to
And he will
him
walk
back.
In somewhere and end up getting dead.
Yeah.
Unless he's got knowledge or connection somewhere that makes him valuable. And they are able to utilize them.
Maybe.
Well,
but
remember
I don't think they're playing.
There's
nothing that much of a long game for them.
Everybody
to play.
Else got killed, remember?
So here's the question.
All of
everybody's
it,
dead.
Everybody, yeah. you know, they have cut that branch of Hydra out, and it's gone.
Right.
Because they basically
So Bakshi is really just kind of a useless asset at this point.
Or a fun thing to torture.
So what do you think
ordered.
That.
Unless he has knowledge and connections.
What do you think that Ward's. Purpose is now. What do you think his goal?
You mean his goal is his plan?
Mm-hmm.
His end game?
Yes.
He doesn't
what's he,
have
what's
an
he
end
shooting?
Game.
Oh, I think he does.
I think he does.
Do you think he's improvising?
He's like a dog chasing cars.
I
he doesn't know what to do with it.
I think
it
he has an agenda.
I think that he will. I don't think he has one yet. Right now, his agenda is to get Agent 33 to be what he wants her to be. Because now he has a chance to do to her what was done to him.
Right.
To shape and form
his
own little
But do you think
toy.
He's doing it for nefarious purposes, or do you think he's doing it out of compassion for her because she's so lost?
No, I don't think
both?
It's compassion. I,
yes.
think, I think he's got an agenda.
Well, I think it's his version of compassion.
Oh, possibly. It's what he knows.
I think
right?
he sees this as, he goes, well, I can help her. I can help her, and I can give her a purpose.
I don't think it's a. I don't think it's a help thing.
I will hold her and
because
love
when
her.
He,
uh-huh.
Yeah,
her
it's not. We're not. We're not. We're
call
not,
her
we're
George.
When he described what Garrett did to him, he obviously has figured out that Garrett took advantage of him.
Oh, but that's the
and
beauty
he doesn't
of it.
Like that
but
part
that's,
of it.
But that's the beauty of it.
There's no beauty there.
Well, no, that's well, yeah. That,
but he also recognizes he can do this to her, not for her.
Well,
to her, but make her believe it's on her behalf.
That's the beauty of it. It's
but I don't think that he's being compassionate out of his own heart.
No, he's not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It's not that it's the good lie.
Right. It's how he's leading her down this path.
Yeah.
This compassion.
Yes.
Right.
This is what they were doing
fake
to me.
Compassion,
I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen to you.
Right.
And our path has reached the end.
Its end.
Well, not the
At
end.
At least for tonight.
Oh, I have to just say one line.
Okay.
Well, nope.
This
yes.
was 33.
Right out of time, sorry.
When she was telling him she was confused and didn't know what to do, she said, but you seem so well adjusted.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's a t-shirt.
And he says, it was a long path.
It was a long path.
Well, he does seem well
he
adjusted.
Does.
So he's manipulating her
to the woman who has no idea who she is.
So
right
have
now,
we gotten?
So.
But have we gotten to a point now where Ward is completely sociopathic?
I think he's always been completely sociopathic. Yeah.
I think so too. I just didn't know whether or not he shows it.
The interesting thing about Ward right now is that we don't have a good answer to that question.
Yeah.
We don't. I mean, the
which makes him more interesting.
We have, well, actually, we don't know that he killed his family.
It's suggested that he
did. We all are pretty sure he killed his family.
Yeah. No. His family's dead.
Right.
He walked away from the house.
We don't know that he did it. And until the show sits there and says, Ward actually killed him. We don't know that Ward actually killed him.
Everything, all the information we have, points exactly to him killing them. Yes, there is no doubt about that.
It's all circumstantial.
However,
it's an easy assumption to make based on what we've seen so far.
Okay,
but it has not been explicitly said in the show that he did it.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be a?
No, I'm serious.
What if it were set up to make it look like he did, and he's actually telling the truth?
What if his agenda is to find whoever has set him up?
Possibly.
I think
we're getting off in the woods now.
Okay.
Hey, is there a laser fence?
Not yet.
There's always a laser fence. Come
but
on.
To that point, though, I mean, really, the way it's presented in the show is that the senator mom and dad committed suicide. Mm-hmm. It was a suicide murder thing.
Right.
So,
how do they know that the house burned and exploded?
There's a 0.0001% chance that that could actually be the case of what really happened, but we know it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next week, lots of action, lots of running,
things
jumping,
will happen,
fighting.
It's almost like William Shatner directed it. Lots of running and jumping.
No, it's shot better.
Yes, but that was the gag.
Star Trek 5 wasn't very good, guys.
You know, there were pieces of that movie. It was shot like a TV show. But there are pieces of that movie that are pretty good.
Not the entire movie.
But
there are moments when the writing in that film is actually really good.
So here's what we're going to do. Speaking of writing, if you want to write to us, you can leave us a comment on the post, or you can send us an email,
Try that again.
Once more with feeling.
Yes. level1187@scififorme.com.
Please attach a script.
Man, I tell you. If you are listening to this show because somebody shared it with you and you would like to subscribe, we would love to have you. We welcome every new addition to our audience here. You can find us on iTunes. Or if you're on an Android device, DoubleTwist, OneCast, or Stitcher. And, of course, we have an RSS feed for all of our shows, Sci-Fi for Me Radio, over there on our main website, which is scififorme.com. On the social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, YouTube, and Google+. And that's going to do it for us tonight. I want to thank everybody here for joining us. Cammie Settle.
Thank you.
My aides.
Good night.
Dan Handley.
Good night.
Tim Harvey.
Good night.
And on behalf of everyone at Sci-Fi for Me, my name is Jason Hunt. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Level 117. We will be back next week.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.